Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
We give you thanks, O God. We give you thanks. For your name is near. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks, O God. We give you glory, Father. We thank you for tonight. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for love that has gathered us together. Thank you for help that we have received. We give you praise, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I want to appreciate Father Ogi for that work he has started on the issue of love and our spirits and our minds and communication, knowing in part and all that. I want to thank God for his life. I also want to thank God for you that God has given you grace to hear these words. Paul said that when I came to you, I did not come in the excellency of speech. Please understand that what we are doing here is not trying to, you know, use terminologies and, you know, it should be a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. What we want to see is change. Amen. What the word of God should achieve in us is change. It is a fact that your heart turned when you heard the word of God. It's encouraging to hear people come, walk up to us and say, thank you for that word. Thank you for that session. I was going to take this step, but by, you know, the word that came, I changed my mind. Aha. That is what we are talking about. It's good to hear people say, thank you very much, thank you so much. Certain things were not clear to me in scripture, but as you gave that word, it was as if the understanding was just open to me. That is what we are talking about. The word of God works. The word works. Hallelujah. The word works. The word works. There's a wisdom in the word, and that when that wisdom comes to us, it has a way of working itself in our lives. If we truly received him, you know, into good soil. So I don't want you to have, I don't want to just hear words and say, wow, that word was fantastic. It's good. Thank God. But importantly, we must see changes. We must see movement from where you used to be. Hallelujah. You must see it. I may not see it. Of course, your profiting has to appear to all of us with time. all those small, small shifts, one day will just appear to us and we'll say, this was not the same person we used to know, okay? But the first tracker of the changes that happen in our lives is you yourself. Amen. If you cannot point to the changes that has happened to you, cannot point to the things that, you know, as God has blessed you with by hearing, then there's nothing any one of us can see. Alright, so you are the first person to detect the changes that the Word of God is achieving in your life. And I'm not promising you that your changes are going to be so spontaneous and so drastic. If I'm promising you that, then I'm taking the place of God. But I know that one way somehow, there's always going to be a shift. And then you find out that you are not where you used to be. Praise the Lord. And I pray that's going to be our portion in Jesus' name. Tonight, I still want to take my thoughts from Hallelujah. I still want to take my thoughts from this priesthood thing we have been talking about. I want to trust the Lord tonight that the Lord will open the floodgates of heaven and give understanding. We're going to be reading a lot of scriptures tonight. There's something about the priestly office I want us to look at, and how does that point to us. Father, I pray tonight that you will open the floodgates of heaven. I pray that you put your words in my mouth. I pray that both speaker and hearers will be blessed. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's open to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. From verse 9. From verse 9. Okay, let's start from 8. Let's see if that helps us a little more. And the Lord spake, okay, from the beginning of chapter 10, let's read from 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them a censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offer strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Verse 2. And there went out fire from the Lord, and brought them, and they died before the Lord. Verse 3. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord speaks, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Verse 4. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. Verse 5. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. Verse 6. And Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. Verse 7. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. Why would they not do according to the word of Moses? Do they want to die? Verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, verse 9, do not drink wine, okay? Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Verse 10, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. Verse 11, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Praise the Lord. Lord help me. Tonight, Something happened to Aaron. He lost two of his sons. They offered strange fire before the Lord. Though the Bible did not tell us the nature of what they did. Alright? All we know from scripture was that they offered strange fire. There was no definition anywhere of strange fire, you know, stated anywhere in scripture. But from commentaries that I look at, there were insinuations that what they did must have been that maybe they drank alcohol. If you read chapter 9, sorry, that was not mine. I said it could have been commentaries that I've seen. If you look at chapter 9, verse 9, do not drink wine. So while Moses was telling them what to do, don't cry, don't shed tears, you know, except you want to die, and all the threats and all that. And they were real threats. If they did it, they were going to die. Okay? Then suddenly we saw these thoughts bumping in. Do not drink wine. I thought he had instructed them on everything they should have done as priests in the service of the sanctuary. And moreover, this was more like their first day at work, like they were the early years, their service, the early days. If not, no, these were the earliest times after their consecration that they were going to that place. So anything could have been, you know, could have excited them. If you read this, it says when you are going, he didn't say they shouldn't take alcohol at all. What he says is that when you are going in to serve, when you are going in to minister, you should not take alcohol. This may suggest that maybe the young men were excited. This, mind you, this law was not there. This rule was not there. So listen to me. There are unwritten laws that you should trust the Holy Ghost to help you as a person not to break. Okay? Are we together? Apart from the fact that there are general things in scripture that we know we should do and not do, for you as a person, you need to know the will of God. Hallelujah. You need to know the will of God. You need to know what exactly is in the mind of God. Jesus said that in the beginning it was not so. Which means that in the very, very heart of God, God did not support divorce. Alright? But God had to permit it for certain reasons. But if you had the opportunity of going to look into the heart of God, you will know that God, he now told us in Malachi, he said, I hate what? But he permitted them to do it. Are we together? Praise God. He permitted them to do it. But in his very heart, that was not it. So which means that certain people can be doing certain things, and God will be looking. And then you will try it, and you will hook. Teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord had spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Which means that by drinking wine and coming into God's presence, God did not like it, because what you think you are doing in God's presence, you are ministering both to God and to men. Remember, Hebrews tells us that a priest is ordained by God to represent, you know, men before God as, you know, as an intermediary. So he has a dual responsibility to minister to God and also what? Hallelujah. The first thing I'd like us to know is that the life that we have been called to live is a life that has restrictions. It's a life that has bounds. Even though we know that eternal life has no bounds, God is, you know, that life called, of course, eternal life and everlasting life are two different things. Alright? So that we don't mix it up. Everlasting life has a beginning, does not have an end. Eternal life has no beginning and has no end. We must understand. So, what the Bible says in John 3:16 is that you have everlasting life. They didn't make a mistake. to have put everlasting life, so that we don't put ourselves in the same position as God. Are we together? Even when we enter into that realm, we still don't become God. Okay? Even when we begin to see the way, when we begin to know the way we are known, it still does not make you God. Am I speaking sense? God is still going to be what? God. Okay? Let's settle that. So, eternal life we know has no bounds, but in the context of the Christian life, there are restrictions, there are constraints, there are things that God has put in place to ensure that you do it well. Of course, in this order, it looked like rules and regulations and all that. But in our order, we know in the new order that we are in, we know that there are no such, you know, it's not about, when we come into the faith, it's not about do's and don'ts in the first place. So what does this translate to for us as believers in these days? Let's see John chapter 17, verse 17, and let us see the things that Jesus said in that place. Please, my main scripture is that Leviticus 10, which I will always come back to visit. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what? Truth. Go to verse 19. And then he also said, for their sakes, I what? I sanctify myself. You can see sanctification. It's the same word. But Jesus was praying somewhere. He said, sanctify them by thy truth. Then he now said it again. He said, I sanctify myself. Which means apart from the sanctification that God does upon, you know, the life of a man, there is also a sanctification that is your responsibility. Are we together? Are we together? Jesus said that. I didn't say it. Now, in that order, it was more of laws. Don't drink alcohol. Don't do this. If you do this, you will die. But we know that in this order, there's no such threats. Alright? But I think this thing for us is supposed to translate into what we call self-control. Hallelujah. I think this thing is supposed to translate into what we call what? Self-control. Self-control. You know, you didn't say they shouldn't drink. Let's analyze scripture the way it is. What did he tell them? He said, when you are coming to minister, don't come here drunk. If you come here drunk, I will kill you. No story. Alright? It means that as a priest, those young men is unfortunate. If that was all happened to them, then it's unfortunate. They didn't know. But ignorance is not an excuse. And God had to make a statement by action. I pray that will not happen to you. Where you now become an epistle for people to read. You know, Evangelist Ojuade sang his song. He said, I don't want. You know, after you have entered the scene, every other person will now learn. Hallelujah. It happens so, even in life. Somebody walks into something unknowingly, then other people will now learn. They will now sit up. The guy is gone. Into the annals of history. As the one who helped us to know that that food is poisonous. How did you people get to know that certain foods are poisonous? Isn't it that certain people ate it? How do you know that some mushrooms are poisonous? Isn't it that certain people ate it? Those sons of the prophet, if not for Elisha, they would have been goners. They said there is death in the pot. I don't know if they have eaten it. For them to know that there is death in the pot, it means that once you, and the prophet had to do something quickly and say you can keep eating. Alright? So it was unfortunate that if that was what happened to them, it was unfortunate. But in the New Testament, what are we supposed to learn from that thing? For the fact that number one, it can affect your sense of judgment And number two, you will not be able to teach. And number three, you could lose your life. I am actually going to be talking on self-control, basically, this evening. Because it is something that a priest must live by. It means that if they put wine before you as a priest, you must know... You must know how far to drink, or whether to drink or how not to drink. Well, you know that there's death inside that. If you go there drunk, you're a goner. There were some guys called the Rechabites. Was it Jeremiah that called them in and gave them, or they said, our fathers have said we should not drink wine. And they did not. And because of that, God caught a covenant with that family. Alright? So, there are certain things too. There are certain things too that may be required of us. It may not apply to everybody. God does not care whether other guys in the camp, whether they drink to stupor. Alright? God does not care. But for the guys that are bearing the holy things, God cares. God cares about how they live their lives. God cares about the extent to which they do certain things. Are we together? And so we find Jesus talking about God sanctify them by thy word. And then he also said that I sanctify myself. So you can't just say God has sanctified me, I'm sanctified by the word of God. You can confess all you can. There's a responsibility you have. Romans chapter 6 lets us know. After he had told us about the revelation of the fact that sin should not have dominion over you, he came to a point and said, do not yield your what? Your members for what? For unrighteous purposes. As there are New Testament realities, there are also New Testament responsibilities. Alright? We must not forget that. We must not throw that away. One man sang a song one time and said, in your presence anything goes. It's a lie, yo. It's a lie. In the New Testament, that is not true. Ask Ananias and what? And Sapphira. It is not true. Go and ask bad Jesus. And ask all those guys. Imagine somebody is giving the church problem and the pastor just looks at him and says, you will not see the sun for 3 days. Ah. And the guy's eyes just go boom and is looking for somebody to take him around. All of us will arrange. But because such things are not happening, we feel that anything can go. We feel that we can run this thing the way we want to run it. So what is this thing, self-control? If you go into your Bible, the KJV, you see the word used most times is temperance in most of the places. It is the gift of the Spirit. You know, all those 9 things are the gifts of the Spirit. Eh? And it is not gifts. Love is the gift of the Spirit. Joy is the gift of the Spirit. Peace is the gift of the Spirit. They are not a gift of the Spirit. That dimension, God will help us to understand it. That those things are 9, but they are one. Alright, let's see Galatians 5:23, where that thing comes from. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, 23, meekness, temperance. If you look at NKJV, what does NKJV put it as? Self-control. The Greek word translates into your ability to hold back. The ability to hold back. To hold in. The ability to be able to withhold. When Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians 7 about husband and wife, like that scripture Pastor quoted on Sunday about fasting, that husband and wife agree together, to set yourself aside in fasting and prayer, so that the devil does not tempt you for your incontinency. Another word for temperance or self-control is what? Continency. Alright? And if you check, it is the ability to be able to hold in. It's the ability to not, you know, ability to be able to control. Solomon said that a man that can control his spirit is better than somebody that can take a what? A whole city. Most of the problems we have, all of us in this world, has been caused by somebody who was not able to tame something. Go and check. Somebody was not able to tame power. Power ran into his head and he took it to the next level. Most of the problems we have caused with our words was because somebody did not know how to hold words back and just released it. And when he released it, nations began to fight against themselves just by mere opening of the mouth. Have you been in situations before where you had an option not to release that word you released? But because you were very angry, you were so angry, you couldn't hold back. Maybe you have been holding it for 3 years, and one day you couldn't take it anymore, and then you what? And really you did that, everything began to scatter. And then you yourself now look back and regretted that, how I wish I did not make that statement. It is the fruit of the Spirit that we are able to hold back. It is not self-discipline. It is not self-determination. This is something actually that the Holy Ghost can produce in a man. This is not psychology. This is not rehabilitation. This is not, it is something that the Holy Ghost produces in a man. And like I said, what did James say? James said, if any man is perfect as concerning words, say such a man is a what? Say you are perfect. And the truth is that all the problems you have been created by mouth. Check it. The greatest inventions that have happened in this world has happened because somebody came and explained that if we mix one thing together, we can make atomic bomb. Okay? The man that discovered the atomic bomb could not achieve it. Somebody came to him and said, I know how we can achieve it. Let's use neutrons to bombard certain nuclei. And that was it. After the First World War, Einstein, who was the physicist behind that, the brain behind the atomic bomb, regretted that what came from him was used to as, and you know, the thing has now advanced. North Korea has advanced it. US, then they have advanced it. The man regretted that something that came from, but why they were using it? Was it not sweet that they defeated Hitler? Was it not good? No, they thought they were using it for something, not knowing that that thing was going to have lasting, far-reaching effects. So listen to me, when we talk about self-control, it is both in legitimate things and in illegitimate things. Are we together? What do I mean by legitimate and illegitimate things? Certain things are legitimate. And that's why you need control. Amen. You can't just keep eating anything. Okay? Is food a sin? Is food crime? But you are fat. And they tell you, calm down. Slow down. Stop swallowing ice cream and swallowing all those things and swallowing. But you know, people have come under the power of habits and they were not able to break it. That thing is going to affect you as a New Testament priest if you don't take care of it. There's a place where we can stand where nothing has power over us except God. Hallelujah. Even ordinary video games can have power over us. Come and ask me, I can tell you. Even games. Things as little as gambling. Do you know that people have been under the power of certain things and they are trying to stay away, but somehow that thing has taken them over? Even they themselves don't like it. But they can't help it. Things as far as much as sex people can be addicted to it. I read about a woman who could have sex 10 times a day. And then I don't know if her husband goes to work. She eventually got one person that was able to cope with her. I don't know how he coped it. A wise woman. Addiction. Addicted to it. She can't but go as much as, I think I read, about 10 times a day. And you know, she and the husband are feeling cool about it. For us as believers, God does not program that we will come under the power of anything. Paul said that all things are lawful for me. He said, but I will not come under the power of anything. We must understand. Because that place is telling us that if you come in here drunk, there are certain things you will not be able to do. Therefore, place certain restrictions on yourself. Even God placed restrictions on himself. What do you think that rainbow in Genesis chapter 6 was doing? What do you think the rainbow is doing? God used it to check himself. If you don't know. Hallelujah. He says, once I see this thing, I will remember that I made a covenant and I will no longer destroy the earth with what? With water. Even God, check himself. Even with his words, God commits himself and also checks himself. Once he has said it, he's going to what? You don't know it's a way of checking himself. God giving us his Holy Ghost as the earnest of the Spirit. You don't know it's a way of God, not God saying, I don't want to turn back from this thing that I have said. So I will commit myself. Are you following? You are not following. Even God does things to keep himself committed to something. So who are you? To live a life that is so carefree, a life that does not care, a life that can go where it wants to go at any time, a life that can do whatever it wants to do when it wants to do it. You want to run things as it pleases you. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1:6. Let's see where these words have been used. 2 Peter 1:6. One of the things Peter asks us to add to our faith is this same thing. And to knowledge, you should have what? Temperance. If you check NKJV, what does NKJV put there? It is still the word what? Self-control. This thing is so important in our Christian lives. It's not a matter of, see, nobody, no rules and regulations can stop you from doing what you want to do. At worst, at best, you, when we are around, or when the pastor is around, you not do anyhow. When no eyes is looking at you, what do? You go your own way. That is not the way God programmed the Christian faith. And that's why if you are here, and you are still playing that kind of hypocrisy. See, nobody has your time. What? Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Nobody has what? Your time. All of us have a master in heaven who is called God. If church catch you, the best we would do is punish you. Send you to Brofemi and say, Brofemi, let her clean the floor. Or let him go and jump the fence. That does not change anything. This thing is the fruit of the Spirit. Alright? This thing is something that happens to you even when nobody is looking. Because if you don't resolve it, it's going to affect your ministering to God and it's going to affect your relationship with men. I went to look up one evangelist. in the days of those healing waves. I've forgotten his name now. He was a man that ministered in the power of the Spirit in the U.S. He was a, what do they call them? Is it junkie? Those guys that live long beards. That was what he used to be. But even when he came, it's a frisbee something. He left the thing like that. But there was anointing on that guy. Anointing. Serious anointing. Not even Katrin Kuman in her lifetime. Just go on YouTube and check. Katrin Kuman interviewed the guy. Katrin Kuman identified with that young man. And you know, and he was getting a lot of young guys born again. Many of those guys that were in that thing, you know, that his look was at, if you look at him, he looks like Jesus of Nazareth, you know, those films. And that his look was attracting all those guys. But you know what? He was an homo. He had issues with homosexuality. But there was anointing working on his head. Eventually the secret burst open. And that was his biggest undoing. He died early. I think he died of AIDS or something. Listen to me. Like I said, both in legit, you know, adultery is illegitimate. So somebody like Joseph could have committed that. When Potiphar's wife said, come and lie with me. Alright, he could have. But he said, how will I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And so he was able to hold back. See, all of us, we get to junctions. Like Pastor Benga would say, that you can get to a junction, you're about to fornicate. You have gone so far that when they open the door and say, guy, walk out. You say, no, I'm not going. I have crossed this line. I can't go back. And that's why there are restrictions that God can place upon us and we are supposed to pay attention. In Acts chapter 24. In Acts chapter 24. There was a story about Paul coming before Felix. Let's see from verse 23, thereabouts. Okay, 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and had him concerning the faith in Christ. Verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance and judgment to come. To a man, the whole of the gospel was summarized in just three things. Righteousness, temperance, and the what? Go and check that temperance. Please, still give us New KJV. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, show little in, and the judgment to come. Felix was what? Was afraid. I hope you know that he didn't make a mistake to put the word self-control in that place. Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will what? I think he for the space of 2 years before he was deposed, he kept coming to Paul, thinking that Paul would bribe him. I hope you know he didn't start in our days. Let's go down. I discovered that today, that somebody expected that Paul would give him bread. Now as the reason about, okay, go down, 26. Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and what? And conversed with him. So, maybe this man will drop money. As far as I'm concerned, he really didn't see. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that even Felix understood the way. He had a better understanding of the way. If you start from, I think, verse 20, 22 or thereabout, you see where they said that he understood the way. Maybe because he had a wife who was a Jewess. He understood the way better. So when they brought Paul before him, he really didn't see what was wrong with him. But he wanted money. And for 2 years, he kept calling Paul the reason, but I don't think the man ever got converted. What I want to bring out from there is that the man reasoned the whole of the gospel as it appeared to him, and he was afraid. What should make him afraid about righteousness, about self-control and the judgment to come. That tells us that that area of our lives is very, very important. It is very, very key, and we are supposed to what? To pay attention to it. Because we minister both to God and to what? And to men. I have Christian guys around me in my school who still gamble, who still do naira bet, and they go to church, they go to vigil, and they do all that. Some of them, we have spoken to them. They have not listened. Alright? Certain Christians do certain things they don't see. And some of them know that what they are doing is wrong, but somewhere, somehow, they are stuck to it. They need God to help them. I don't know what you are also, what is in your life that is something you are trusting God. It may be a habit, it may be something. We were not made in this New Testament order to be subject to any kind of habit. Mark it. You are not supposed to come under the power of anything. Paul said that those of us who are using this world should use it in the perspective that this world is just use and dump. It is passing away. And that is why that is how we are expected to what? To leave this world. You are not expected to be addicted to anything. I'm trusting God to also help me too. I like games, especially soccer. Some of you know. You know? Some of us like movies. Some of us like... See, there's no way those things are not affecting you. They are. Those things are not sins, but see, you can see I'm not particular about alcohol, because maybe there are also some that used to take one cup once in a while. If you do that, shout hallelujah. Praise God. What, no matter how legitimate that thing is, no matter how legitimate, it can be food, it can be anything. God is saying it will affect your sense of judgment. You will not be able to separate in from what is holy. See, you need a sound mind to be able to divide. If you don't have a sound mind, you will not be able to divide what is right from what is not right. It means at every point in time, we must be able to trust God to help us to maintain a state where God can help your eyesight. You can be at the center of things. Even certain spiritual truths, you will not fall to one side of the divide. You know, it says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Of power, of love, and of a what? Of a sound mind. Yorubas call it okan to ye koro. It's not a mind that can do chemistry 101 or physics 101. Are we together? He's not talking about a brilliant mind. He's talking about a mind that is sound. Have you met people who are sound before? I think I've met a couple of them. They are sound. They are balanced. Hallelujah. They are not Christians that are, you know, they can pray, but they can't study. They don't like word. They like prayer. Some like prayer. Word, zero. Some can fast. Prayer, religious. Some can pray. When it comes to fasting, they will say Jesus fasted everything during that 40 days. Because when we go there to represent the Lord before unbelievers, or when we go there, we have said it that when you preach the gospel, you are carrying out a priestly assignment. When you go to do that, there's a position you are expected to take. There's a sense of judgment that God wants to build. Because if that sense of judgment is corrupted, even God is going to have problems. Hallelujah. you'll not be able to articulate the gospel the way you should articulate it. Sometimes there are different people who need different approach. You'll not be able to because you are deep into one thing. I've met people before who have asked me, is it good to drink alcohol? You are not born again. You are asking me that question. I will not answer you. I'm not interested. Sorry. There are people you don't even get to answer. You don't answer them. Should pastors collect tithes? What is your own? Are you first a member of the body? If I cannot confirm that you are a member of the body, then there's no point discussing issues that concern the body with you because you can never understand. Are we together? No matter what I try to say, you are going to approach it from your carnal perspective. So there's no point. But if me and you are from the same tribe, then we can talk about things that are happening in church. Some of us can't even control ourselves. We go on Facebook and you throw anything there. You throw anything there. Who told you everybody on Facebook are Christians? I think we should go and create one Facebook for Christians alone. But how do we know who is a Christian and who is not? How do you register? Hallelujah. It's still part of self-control. It's part of it. And see, it is what the Spirit can generate on your inside. It is one of the graces that we enjoy in Christ Jesus that we can hold back. In concluding, let's go and read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you are a priest, you don't drink wine to minister. I hope you know that it's not only when the high priest is going in into the holiest of all. Even when those young men, I know they minister there every day. So when will they have time to drink? Hello? They go into that place every day. I don't know for how often they change bread. I think it's a daily thing. The bread they bake and they replace the bread, and to ensure that that light, there is always oil burning at the menorah, and to offer incense on the altar of incense. They go there every day. So tell me when you will drink. God is wise though, in the way he has arranged his things. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Please, I will round up on these notes very soon. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon. Let's go to verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment. Okay, let's start from 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether absent or present, we be accepted of him. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he had done, whether it be good or bad. 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. 12. For we commend not ourselves again to you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them, with glory in appearance, and not in hearts. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Now, that verse 13, go back. Can you give us in NKJV? For if we are beside ourselves, that beside ourselves, let's get what it means. Okay. For if we are beside ourselves, mad, as some say, it is for God and concerns him. If we are in our right mind, it is for your benefit. Verse 14. For the love of Christ, what constrains us? What does he say? He's trying to say, for the love of Christ helps us to know exactly how to behave. He says, if we are beside ourselves, what does it mean to be beside yourselves? If we are mad, as some people say, that means if we are not in our right mind, as some people claim. whether we are in our right mind, of course, different people will have different perspectives of you. Some will say, that guy is mad. He's not in his right mind. Some will say, that guy is okay. He said, but in the expanse of that limit, here and there, he said, the love of what? Of Christ does what? It constrains us. He helps us to know exactly where to place ourselves in terms of behavior and relating with people. Okay? And that's why I'm going to end this on love. Love is one thing that will help. And that's why the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And he began to state the others: joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The first of all those things is what? Is love. With love, every other thing can find expression. So listen to me. The reason why I'm going to constrain myself is because of love. The reason why I will not do certain things because of you is what? Is because of what? The reason why I will not go to certain places, if you go and read Romans chapter 10, Paul began to write about, he wrote about many of those things in scripture, why certain times come where there are certain things we do not do because of certain people and certain reasons. Are we together? See, we must learn that. I've often met people who say, I don't care what people think about me. I say that is a wrong statement to make. I care what people say about me. I am not a man pleaser, but I care what people say about me. And I say if you are a Christian, you are a believer, and your life does not attract sinners, we should check you. If sinners don't see anything in your life, you know, normally sinners should run away from righteous people. But the Bible says that Jesus is a friend of sinners. Eh? So if sinners there's nothing they see about you, even though you don't behave like them, even though you don't do what they do, yet they run away from you. They say, if your Jesus is the only Jesus alive, I would rather go and take Jesus of Oyibo. Then we should check you. Hallelujah. The love of Christ has got to work in our lives and constrain us. Because we are going on assignment for God. We are trying to turn the heart of men towards God. We are trying to even talk to, you know, our brethren and make them see who God is. If we go there without a lifestyle that makes... See, you have got to be sweet. The world needs to look at you and say, that man, he's just a good person. He's a sweet person. They may be Muslims, they may be anything, there should be testimonies about you. And that is because of the way the love of Christ has helped you to live among the heathen. Nothing can replace that thing. Are we together? Nothing can replace it, and nothing should replace it. That wherever you find yourself, there must be testimonies about you that you are kind. They shouldn't say, but when it comes to money, he has that problem. Alright? I've had things like that. When it comes to, he's a very nice person. When you come to him, he will help you, will assist you. But when it comes to women, he has problems. What is that testimony about people? Even about Christians. We have Christians. Ask Father Ogi. Ask Pastor Pilo. We have Christians all around our offices. They are the ones who they don't say anything wrong in stealing money and taking money and doing all that. Okay? We can come to that point where the world will look at you and say, like that boy said, he said, I have seen Jesus before. He said, have you met Jesus? I have met Jesus. He said, where is he? He said, let me show you. Took them to one burial ground beside there. And said, is this Jesus? He said, yes, this is the Jesus I met. I know the Jesus was talking about, David Livingstone. As far as the guy is concerned, he has met Jesus before. And when they were saying, where is he? He took them to the tomb of David Livingstone. He said, this is Jesus. Sincerely. He wasn't trying to, it was not rev. sincerely. That was a Jesus he could relate with. Am I saying you are going to be able to please all men? I am not saying that. There will be one, two, three people that will have issues with you. For being a Christian, they have problems with you. But I am saying that your life must exemplify. Your life must stand out in business, in at work, in whatever we do. All these things we know has to come. Your life must maintain a balance in terms of character. They shouldn't say you are good here, but you are bad here. They shouldn't say you are good in this area, but in that area, we need to be trusting God for you. I am not saying I have attained. I'm not saying I have reached there. All of us have things in us that we are believing God to help us to conquer. But you know what? We are going to get there. In the name of Jesus. You know, they brought Jesus before all these men. And wherever they brought Jesus to, do you know that even Pilate didn't find anything wrong with that man? Where if they are looking for things to hold you, look at Daniel. They look for every possible means to get Daniel. In nothing could they hold Daniel down, because God was helping him to live his life among the people who never liked him. You are going to work in hostile environments. But you know what? You can live your life. As I end it, something happened in my secondary school. A Muslim took us up in class with the Christians. Something happened. I think we were going to do a program, and we were pasting the program all around. And one Muslim guy was going there, one Afar guy was going there to remove everything we were pasting. Did you know that a Muslim guy like him fought him? As in, they fought physical. God, that day I knew that God can fight for people. A Muslim guy, it just happened. Two of them just entered into a fight and they were fighting. See, if that guy didn't see, if our lives didn't model anything, they won't fight themselves. They will support themselves. So tonight I want you to sit down on that thing and trust the Lord. I don't know in what area you are trusting God to help you moderate your life. We need our lives to be moderated. Father, we thank you for tonight. We're grateful to you, Lord. The Bible says we should make our moderation known to all men. The Lord is at hand. We trust you for help. Because without this, we can't go far. Without this, we will not represent you well. Father, we thank you because you will help us. And you will grant us grace. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Can we put our hands together for Jesus again? So simple.
He's an elderly person that you cannot even talk to that, sir. What you are doing is not right. And the more the lady pray about it, it seems that it's getting more worse. You understand? And people around are already seeing this and make more complaining and murmuring behind, like, is this a man of God? Is this a pastor? But yet it's not obvious to the wife and the children. Please.
Praise God. I don't know what advice you can give to such mom, but something came to my mind as a young believer. And I have a sister who was just a colleague too in the Navy and is a deeper life person. But we have a boss that, of course, in his office there is what we call a slaughter room. Many of you will not understand what slaughter room. Let's just leave it like that. It's a slaughter room. And this, our boss, is also a close member of Deeper Life Financial. And so this colleague was telling me that we need to confront this man. I said, death is beckoning on your head. Death is hanging on your head. But one day he took boldness and he met with him. He said, sir, what you are doing is wrong. If you need help, cry out for help. Somebody will help you. As a Christian, you are not supposed to be an adulterer. You are an adulterer, sir. The man was mad. The man sent for me. He said, hear what your friend is saying. Honestly speaking, I saluted his courage, but I don't have the guts to confront him. That's the truth. He said, take him out. And of course, when they said they should take somebody out, that's judgment. Praise God. I said, well, you would have reported this man to Pastor Kumuyi, since he is very close to Pastor Kumuyi, but he confronted him. But guess what? After many days, he asked me to go and call the man again. And he said, thank you very much for this confrontation, that I lost my rest. Almost about 2 weeks that you confronted me. Sometimes we need to confront. We need to confront. It could be difficult, but we need to confront. If we are not confronting, see, confrontation is another aspect of level of love. If you don't confront a sin, you won't deliver such person from sin. Although the man was not completely delivered, but he stopped the concept of bringing lady to the office and opening the room for them, and he stopped it because he knew for a while that people are watching. So it's not, you don't advise such people, you confront them. The reason why we don't confront people is because of what we will lose. At the end of the day, you discover that you lost nothing. You just discover that you lost absolutely nothing. What comes out of it is respect and love. Initially, they may look at you, but at the end of the day, the man is actually is born again. Because like Pastor D was saying, there are many of us that are addicted to one thing or the other. And we need deliverance. And if I am in the shoes of that sister, what I will do is to confront. We have to begin to confront one another. It's part of the love that we have to share. Praise God. I think that's my own take about it. It's confrontation. Just confronting. Sir, what you have done is wrong. You can't continue like this. Your life is endangered. Your future is endangered. You are murdering a lot of people and they are watching you. Praise God. I have given an example of where I said that if I am accused as a young pastor then, if I am accused of adultery, would pastor sit down? Will I sit down among you? I said, no, you won't allow me to sit down. You will set up a committee to investigate it. So as far as I'm concerned, that was a confrontation. Although I lost my position in the church, but many years when we saw, we hugged ourselves, and I remember they have said that, there was somebody I was confronting last week. My wife was there. He pastored me while I was in Lagos. And I told him, I said, young man, you are journeying, you are passing through it. I said, I know you are rich. I know you have a big church, you have followers. But the path you are following now will not help you. That we are looking up to you for this generation. But he now said, we argue and argue. He said, okay, do you mean that we can do without these old people? I said, we can't, I'm not saying we can do without them, but we can't travel their path. You're already traveling their path. You are looking for fame. These people who look for fame in this walk, we end up becoming a sinner. I told him, we argued for almost about 1 hour. At the point in time, he said, sorry, I will call you back. And I said, okay, fine, I'll pass my message. Eventually, he called me again. He said, well, I've considered it, but what do you have against these people? I said, here you go again. I don't have anything against them. It's not because I have never seen you raising that kind of offering, but if your author has gone through a variety in social media that it was in that place that they are doing that kind of thing, that I'm grossly disappointed, that it grieved my heart when I saw it in Nakure, that this is not what we were doing when I was with you. I confronted him, but eventually he was gradually coming down. He was gradually coming down. We spoke for another 1 hour. He said, the issue is that I had a dream, and in that dream, he eventually told me the truth that he had a dream, he saw Bishop Oyedepo in the dream, that he poured oil on him, and he needed a link to Bishop Oyedepo. That was the reason I said, can you see yourself? Do you know Bishop Oyedepo before you build a church that can take almost about 3,000 people? You don't, did you meet him? Do you know him? Do you understand? That was a confrontation. And I have also seen his responses. This is about the second time that I will confront him. There was a time when he used to bring Jester. I told him, I said, it's wrong for you to bring somebody who tells about Christ to come and minister in your pulpit. That was not the manual that we wrote. Because I am one of the people who wrote a manual. I said, that is not one of the manual that we wrote. Why will you bring? He said, what's wrong with him? I said, this boy is working in a clubhouse. He said, are you sure? I said, ask him, tell him that you met Pastor Bola Bello. I brought two of them up. They live with me before I left Lagos. But they are big boys now. I said, they are working in the clubhouse. He said, really? I said, call them now when you drop. I said, I will drop. Call him. I said that this is what Pastor Bello said. And he called me back. He said, it's true. It's just. I said, so these are the people who work in the clubhouse and they will come and work in the church. Confrontation. And he dropped it. Of course, I was not afraid of what I will lose. The reason why many of us cannot confront is because of what we will lose. Manu was telling me, he said, your own is too much. You confront people too much. I have to, because it's my father's house. It's my father's business. And I have to protect the interest. But some of us, we don't see it like that. Praise God. So we must learn to confront people. Praise the name of the Lord. Any other question? Now, the book of John 17, verse 17. Pastor was talking about issue of sanctification and the need for us to, you know, for us, the need for us to be moderate. The need for moderation. And I come to conclusion that we got certain things wrong about the issue of sanctification, which we need to put right in the church. And of course, sanctification basically is about setting apart. Verse 17 says, sanctify them. No. Go back. Okay, it's okay. 17, give me 17. He says, sanctify them through what? Thy truth. Thy word is what? Is the truth. Don't forget that Jesus said that I am the. Do you understand? I am the truth. He also said, and I am the way. Again, in the book of John chapter 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was who? Was God. And the Word was made manifest in this same person. Okay? Verse 18. Look at verse 18. He said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. 19. Look at verse 19 now. Look at verse 19. He said, and for their sakes, I what? I sanctify myself. For thy sake. The sanctification of Jesus Christ was not for holiness, because he's an only being. He was without sin. Okay? He was without sin. But that sanctification that he was talking about was in the book of Philippians chapter 2. If you go to the book of Philippians chapter 2, I think verse 5. Let this mind be in you as it is. Who does not count it as robbery to be what? To be equal with God, but made himself. That was his sanctification. He chose to set himself apart as a what? As a man. He chose to set himself. He put off the Godhead and he set himself apart as a man. He set himself apart. He sanctified himself as a man. That's why he said,
He said, nobody taketh it from me. I lay it down by myself. Because it was a life that he chose to set apart for humanity. Angels cannot do it. No other being could do it. And if you go into the book of prophecy, they were asking, who can we send? Who will go for us? There was no single person that can sanctify himself for that assignment. Now, that shows us a whole lot of denial. A whole lot of what? Of denial that Jesus Christ needed to go through before he could become a man. It wasn't easy for you to ask President Buhari to come and I saw Atiku eating with IDR people, internally displayed people. Because of what? Election. And when you look at it, it did not finish the food. He just put one spoon. And I'm sure with that one spoon, he might travel to America to go and purge himself. I'm just using an example. Now, because he has gotten to a level that certain things could endanger his life. And that is the truth. There are certain things that some of us did in our young age that if we try it, now there are certain things that I was telling my wife of a particular pond in my village. This pond does not dry, but this pond does not have any, it's a pond. I don't know how the heaven designed the pond. Maybe the water was coming underground. The pond has never dried before, and that is the pond that the old village drank. But you know what? In the same pond, when you have guinea worm, you will go there and wash it, and it will heal it immediately. And yet, I said, if I go there now to drink that water, immediately, spontaneous death. Do you understand? Spontaneous death. Now, let's go back to Jesus Christ, who was in the realm of Godhead. He now sanctified himself and became man, which was very, very, very difficult. Which was very, very difficult. He was now saying the same thing in verse 19. Please go back to John 17:19. Look at. He said, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified. Through what? Through the truth. It is not his truth that sanctifies him, because he himself is what? Is the truth. Okay? But, like Pastor D concluded, that sanctification was born out of extreme love. That's the word. That sanctification was born out of extreme love. Not for me. Not for you. But for God. Do you understand? Because he loves what the Father loves. He said, for God so loved the world. They didn't say for Jesus Christ so loved the world. For God so loved the world. And he said, whatsoever God loves, I will love. So he chose to sanctify himself. For the purpose of the love that he has for God, so that he could achieve what God wanted to achieve for humanity. So, he now says, they also might be sanctified by thy truth. In other words, we may also be set apart. But that setting apart can only come via the truth. You shall know the truth. And the truth shall what? Shall make you free. The level of freedom that a man has from sin is largely dependent upon the knowledge of the truth that he has understood. Now, there is difference between knowing the truth and understanding the truth. People may know the truth, but they may not understand the truth. When you understand the truth, you will come to a place that, as a priest, for example, how can I read the story of Ophni and Phineas, who are potential wearer of effort of priesthood, but could not put on the effort of priesthood as a result of what? Of self-control. Do you understand? What was their sin? Self-control. Before the meat of priesthood were cooked, they would go with fork and they would take as many as they could and they would begin to eat it. Because they lack self-control. Of course, the gluttonous women, ladies, who love gratification from what they derive from it, also beckon on them and they begin to sleep with them. Praise God. Because of lack of self-control. Now, the reason is this. Because they did not understand that they are potential priests. So they could not set themselves apart to become what they would have become tomorrow. Do you understand? If you know the journey of life, if you know the reward and the benefit of what you are currently and presently, it won't be difficult for you to set your faith, to sanctify yourself and to set yourself apart. It will not be difficult for you to come into a place where you control yourself. I keep on saying it. You are young men and women. Many of us, we are much more tempted with women than all of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Many of us, we are much more tempted. How many ladies did you see in a day? He's a lecturer. He doesn't cost him anything. Do you understand? How many ladies sat on my? A man came from Ekiti yesterday. He said, "I brought my daughter to give to you." I said, "For what?" He said, "I want her in school this year." But and I look at the result. I said, "What do you want to study?" He said, "Microbiology." I said, "Why do you want to study micro?" He said, "Because I have passion." Ah. And I look at her result and he has A's all around. She's got 220 in JAMB. But you know what? Her English was with us. And I said, "Young woman, excuse us." And I told the father, I said, "Stop dragging this girl. I would have made money from them. They came with money. But I have to control myself because I know that God put me in that position to help people, not to extort them, not to take advantage of them." I said, "Stop dragging this young woman." I said, "How old is he?" They said, "He's 18. But she looked older than me. I said, "And so?" I said, "Please, let her write JAMB again. Next year, bring her result to me. When you are filling your form, fill Futa or Foye. By the grace of God, I will put you into Futa if you can score 220 again." And the man was looking at me. He said, they were ready to pay, but if I take that money, that's what we call self-control. Mind you, yesterday I did not have money, even till today, my car got sunk in the car in the error of my house, and the boy was saying 5,000. When you don't have money, what you are angry? I got down, I was angry with them. I said, "You are asking me for 5,000. Are you okay? 5,000 to push car for me, this and that and so on." I said, "Today go and bring my shirt. I will leave this car here. Nobody is passing. And go and bring my." Somehow, the woman said, "I need 2,000. I said, "I don't have. Truly, I don't have. If I have, I would have given them. I have 2 500 naira notes in my wallet, and I can only spare 500 out of it." Now, I'm telling you the extent at which I needed that money yesterday. But I look at it that there must be self-control in all things. You can't have self-control if you are not mindful of future. You can't. If your mind is full of where you are going, that this is the journey, I'm going on a journey. And these are obstacles and barriers on our way. There are certain things that make us Deuteronomy. It was when about 2 nights ago, I just said, I'm getting addicted to tea. I can take like 3-4 cups of tea in a day. I said, I'm getting addicted to tea. This night, I'm you need more tea. All over the night, I wake up with intention to drink tea. I said, I'm not going to give you tea. Do you understand? Because I notice that I'm getting addicted to it. We must deliberately deny ourselves of things that, see, God is not God that will do it for you. I'm telling you the truth. You just have to come to a place where you discipline your mind and deal with this flesh. I think that was also, we could link this with Pastor Gis's message. Because the new way that was sanctified for us was by the reason of piercing of veil. And what was the veil? The flesh. It was as a result of the piercing of the veil, he consecrated himself. You can't consecrate yourself without dealing with the veil. This is veil. Do you know why they call it veil? Because this is what covers your person. This thing that you are looking is fake. This is not you. Do you understand? And until you deal with it, you cannot see your real self emerge. So please, it's important for us to discipline ourselves to come into the place where we crucify ourselves, not because of anything, not because of church, not because of your dad, not because of your mom, not because of your pastors. No, you are not doing it for them. You are doing it for your future, for your destiny. And you will discover that by the time God is going to pick you up, he will remember all those things and said, I can trust this guy with this work. I can trust this guy with this work. If God cannot trust you with work, it's just because there is something that is wrong with your life. My prayer is that God is going to help us.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.